Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
The dynamic Jonathan Gray is here, and of course, Jonathan is an ancient archaeologist. His website is beforeus.com. His latest book is Will You Survive? And also the latest video series is all about the Vatican, etc. Can you give that title and how they can get that? But there's dozens of e-books that they can obtain on your site. I call essential reading and watching. Can you give the information on how they can obtain it, Jonathan?
Yes, yes. As for the DVD series, The Vatican, Islam, and Jerusalem, just go to the first page, beforeus.com, and up on the left-hand top corner in the pink box, there's a link to click, and that'll take you through to the ordering details and also describes what the what's in the DVDs themselves. If you click down to the bottom of the page where it says... there's a few links at the bottom of the page. One of them says other products. Click on that, and the whole list of other things is on another page, and you can get access to it immediately.
Well, one of the things that I'd like to highlight as we start this show, because it's some very dark things we need to talk about. Donald Trump is planning within 72 hours to strike Syria. And I put up a picture yesterday after I had a discussion with John W. Spring, who's the whistleblower 55 years ago for the Cuban Missile Crisis to John F. Kennedy. And I've been a whistleblower 5 years ago to Russian missiles on the Guatemalan-Mexican border for the government, and now of the Russian nuclear submarines in the Orinoco River aimed in Venezuela at our guts from the south. What people have to understand is that people always want to assume, especially Christians, that Donald Trump, even though he's getting prayed by all these footballers recently in this game that he was, and supported by evangelicals, I like to twist the terms to make them a little funny. So instead of calling them evangelicals, I usually call them evil jellyfish. How's that? Do you like that? Evil jellyfish?
Yes,
now, by jellyfish, I mean people that are, for example, promulgating foolishness, like the idea you're going to get raptured or things get real bad. Don't worry. You're such a good Christian. God wouldn't let you suffer. Are you kidding? I had it 2 years ago. I had a lady call me about 2.5-3 years ago. And she called me and she said, Dr. Deagle, I know you're a godly man. I said, yeah, I've been through my stuff with God. And believe me, I've wandered away and he's shooken me and got me back in relationship. She said, well, my son's a drug addict and he's violent and all these things. And I'm praying for him to come into the kingdom. I said, okay, let's pause. Let's say a little prayer. I said, well, would you mind if, when we make our arrangement for him to be saved into the kingdom, if he comes into the kingdom without eyes or legs? And she stopped for like 30 seconds or so. Well, I don't know. I said, well, if you don't know, why do you think it's going to happen? God is going to take you whatever way he has to, even if he has to give you cancer for the last 6 months of your life. You turn to him, and you're saved and live with him for eternity. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't think Deagle's better than the little boy being or girl being ripped apart by an abortionist, paid by our blood money now by this idiot Donald Trump, who is this omnibus bill, paid for $500 million to kill 330,000 babies with Planned on Parenthood. Now, you have to understand, Donald Trump is not in any way, shape, or form a Christian. If you're a Christian, there's three things that distinguish you. Number one, you recognize you're a sinner, you repent of it publicly, and you continue to use that repentance to save other people from a separation of relationship with God. You don't go to heaven if you don't have a heavenly relationship now, when the body drops away at the moment of death and the last carbon dioxide molecule leaves your mitochondria. You become evidently aware that you're fading into non-existence, which is annihilation. That's the agitation of the fire inside you, not external. And people don't understand that. You don't go to heaven. I'm in heaven right now when I just serve God, even though I physically can be suffering on earth or financially suffering or dying of cancer or some other terminal illness. Your relationship with God is all that counts. He's not a respecter of persons, is he? So my favorite book of the Bible is Job. So God's got a sense of humor. And if you see his sense of humor and his perspective, you realize that our perspective in mankind is totally foolish, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. Because he knows everything, and he loves, his heart is so much bigger than ours, full of love for everyone, no matter how low they are.
Now, I put up a picture of Donald Trump here yesterday for the Hour 3 show, and it shows an angel at his right shoulder and the devil at his left shoulder, and it shows a map of Syria with a little, you know, like it looks like a gall stake on his forehead. And it shows, I can read off what it says here in this little caption. It says, the angel's reading out, what will we be, what we get for bombing Syria besides more debt and a possible long-term conflict? And the Constitution says, you need congressional approval. And of course, on the other side, the devil says, show them how tough you are. War makes us big money. And Bill Kristol, Lindsey Graham, Hillary, CNN, the deep state will all love you, the devil's saying to him, right? You got to understand, when I said that prayer last year, Hillary Clinton is a very scary person. She's a person of clay and iron, which is transdimensionally indwelt by a demonic being. But Donald Trump is a high-level Royal Arch Mason, and he's not a Christian. He's doing what is right in his own eyes, even though he's a great financial leader. He's brought the economy back. He's saying he's pro-life and he's Christian. I'd like to see the beef. Why is he allowing $500 million to go to Planned on Parenthood? And why is he supposedly say he's going to build a wall with the department, with the military and the Army Corps engineers? He's the president. He could pull that money back tomorrow, and he could also end his foolishness with Sessions by putting a new attorney general in there and stopping this charade. He could also stop the idea that until we investigate Syria, how dare he decide to strike a missile base and possibly start not only a regional war, but an attack on our military bases and our naval vessels that actually fire these Tomahawk missiles. I was their doctor for the Tomahawk missile firing systems called Styx, and I can tell you, we have no military defense for missiles coming in from Russia to our naval systems or our air bases. So if you want a lot of dead Americans, a lot of dead Syrians, and by the way, if you get rid of Bashar al-Assad, you're going to have a lot of dead Christians and Jews, because the only one protecting them was Bashar, which is a religion that's a chimera between Islam and Christianity. He's the only one protecting the Christians in Syria. I know. My family were Christian Syrians. So I can tell you right now, this idiot, this self-serving maniac, Trump, better smarten up and repent right now, because if he decides in the next 72 hours to start a missile strike, he doesn't have move 2, 3, and 4. First off, the missiles will be knocked out by the S-400 system. Secondly, the Russians may counterattack and hit our naval vessels and their military bases. And what's he going to do then? Is he going to be just embarrassed? Or is he going to try to start a thermonuclear war? What does he have as a response, even if he gets the British and the French, stupidly, to go in with him? It's crazy, isn't it?
Yep.
This man is actually showing me, you know, God said, you know what? I'm like an old bloodhound. You know what an old bloodhound's like? Have you ever seen one? You see, as an old bloodhound, the last thing to go on a bloodhound is their nose. They may not walk fast. They're kind of sloopy all over the place. They may be falling over if they're really old, but their nose is still just as good. And I'm like an old bloodhound. I can smell blood. And I'm going to tell you, as I add points up, because my wife said to me, I don't trust Trump 2 years ago when he was running for election, but it took me a long time to add up enough points and say, I'm now more scared of Trump than I was of Hillary. That's what concerns me. And I'm praying for the man that he becomes a Christian. He's not Trump Pinocchio. He becomes a real-life Christian president. He has a potential to end abortion. He has a potential to be a real Christian leader. He has a potential with all the people praying around him. But unfortunately, most of the Christians in this country, they have the word, and this is the word that I got in the first chapter of the Small Scroll Prophecy many years ago. They have God's word on their lips, but inside they have a curse in their heart. Most of the Christian denominations in this country are so delusional. When I talked to a man years ago when I was traveling to the south of the United States, I talked to a man from Ethiopia, from Addis Ababa, who's a Christian Ethiopian. He said, oh, this rapture stuff, that's American gospel. We have a lot of heresy inside the American Christian church that's disgusting, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. It's in a bad way.
Yeah. So tell me, when you see this analysis, will you survive? The first thing is people need to be on the same sheet of spiritual music. Number two, they need to start preparing now because the cashless system is coming, the mark of the beast. And I'm going to say this because I'm the only one on earth saying it, as the blood descendant of Moshe and Ephraim and Joseph, which I gave the Joseph prophecy a month ago, the last president of the United States is the beast. And unfortunately, Trump, you're getting a lot more scores now than Hillary ever had. And you better smarten up or we're going to be facing some very dire days. Back in a moment. Jonathan, let's get into your book, Will You Survive? Let's talk about what topic you want to cover today.
Well, I'd like to go into the country advantages, which we haven't really done properly yet.
Yeah, you're talking about the country, meaning not the city.
The country, not the city. That's right.
Yeah.
Opposite from the city.
Which was, by the way, we're working with Dave Mitchell to develop, villages of refuge. I call Christian villages of refuge. And not just in America, but in other countries around the world, including New Zealand and elsewhere. And you have to have a number of criteria you meet. And then we have to have people that are willing to sign up. And we don't ask for any money until we get enough families, I say 50 to 100. We can create a village of survival where you have to plan on being able to survive for decades and centuries, not months and years.
Yes. Now, in the region where I live, are numerous tall mountains and valleys, and they're covered in thick rainforest. And sometimes hikers get lost, and search and rescue personnel are called upon to find them. And most times they're successful, but occasionally a tramper or a climber has failed to take precautions and does not survive.
Right.
Now, of all things that need to be prepared first, if one leaves the city in a hurry and you haven't got time for too much, it is shelter. Shelter needs to be prepared first. You need shelter first, then water, then food, in that order. Now, a man can die in 2 hours from exposure, 2 days without water, or in 2 weeks without food. Now, sunstroke and hypothermia are life-threatening scenarios. Dehydration is no fun at all, Bill, and it'll make a person very ill. However, losing a little weight won't hurt the figure. It might even raise your self-esteem. And these priorities must be honored in any preparation plan.
Right.
Now, you may be required to deal with hunger, thirst, and a very hot sun, or very cold. At the very least, think about taking with you a tent. That is the minimum that you need to take with you, no matter
the one I like the best, if you're talking about a permanent shelter to take 150 mile an hour winds, etc., wind, rain, snow, etc., is the turtle tough shelters made in Oregon. And we'll be getting Bob back on the program to talk about them. But this design is amazing. Turtle tough shelters. And we have a link, by the way, up to Turtle Tough Shelters right now. And if you contact them, you can save 5% by going through the link or calling them on NutriMedical.com. Because people need to realize, if you don't have shelter first and you don't have a way of filtering water when you're on the run, like one of these straws or even one of our portable BEV 200 systems that can drop with a car battery, drop a line into a puddle and turn cleaners into distilled water, you better realize that you're going to die of diarrhea, dehydration, and electrolyte problems. But you have to have shelter. That's number one.
Yes, absolutely. And when you flee, have your tent, whatever you want to call it, already in the car or ready to go. And better yet, have a place already in mind that you can go to, and it needs to be reachable within an hour or two from where you are and be out of the city, far from the city.
Right.
Now, if you're already living out of the city, then consider the reality that many others who believe as you do are going to come to you because they've made no preparation. So that raises many questions. And the first question I would ask would be, where best should one locate to survive a crisis?
Right.
Now, this is where we go to the first book in the Bible, and it's amazing the instruction that it has for us in matters like this. The book of Genesis provides for us the clues to both survival and also the highest quality of life, country living. Now, when we look at our first parents, the Creator's choice of environment for them was natural country living. And mankind's first occupation was gardening, getting his hands into the fresh earth. Now, the Bible talks about God planting a garden, and there he putting the man, and he caused to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight, plus those that are good for food. And he took man and put him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. And there you really have it, the ideal environment for which we were designed and created. And the home of our first parents was to be a pattern for future homes, as their children should go out and occupy the earth. And that home, beautified by the hand of our Creator himself, it was not a big building, a gorgeous palace or anything. Men in their pride do delight in magnificent and costly structures, and they glory and boast in the works of their own hands, but God placed man in a garden. And this outdoor garden setting was man's first home. You looked up above you, and your roof was the blue heavens. And you look around you, delicate flowers on a carpet of green. And then the leafy branches of trees were the canopy. And you got the walls were hung with magnificent adornings, beautiful blossoms hanging down from the branches. And these were the handiwork of the great master artist. And I often say to people that man will imitate beauty, but he can never create the beauty of things that we see around us today that grow naturally. Nothing like the wonderful design and beauties of nature. And instead of people getting sick, they would just enjoy life on and on. That was God's plan. Well, in the surroundings given to our first parents, there was a lesson being taught that true happiness is found not in the indulgence of pride and luxury, but in communion with our Creator through his created works. And if we would give less attention to the artificial and would cultivate greater simplicity, we would come far nearer to answering the need in our own hearts for true peace and joy and fulfillment. That's what we were created for. Okay. Now, to the first man and woman was committed the care, as we noticed, to dress it and keep it. And their occupation was not tiresome. It was pleasant. It was invigorating. And their labor was intended to be a blessing, to occupy our minds, to strengthen the body, to develop the faculties. And in mental and physical activity, our first father of the human race found one of the highest pleasures of his existence. So I'd like to ask, aren't we missing something today? Are we missing what we were intended to enjoy? Okay, let's just weigh up the advantages of living in the country versus city life. Let's say city life for a start. Advantages of city life, we all know those. That everything is close, it's convenient, you have close neighbours. Disadvantages, today we've got noise, pollution, fumes, traffic, crime, crammed like sardines into small living area. Then we'll look at the country life after the break.
Absolutely. And people should start thinking of this now. If you're in the big city, get out, get to the periphery, if you want to get into as one of these surviving communities or Christian that think like-mindedly and are prepping spiritually as well as physically and financially, contact us. We'll help you. Trend alert, basically, Trump war, not trade war, to crash markets from the 9th of April this month. And it says, the market crasher is forecast in our February trends monthly. Gerald Celente says, the high danger trend was identified that would shock markets is now emerging. We wrote, we are concerned that a black swan wild card event will crash already unstable markets, most probably the United States and Israel ramping up the war in Syria. Now, Trump doesn't have a counter-response. He doesn't have congressional approval. He's trying to get Britain and France on side to actually do missile attacks. Russia said they're going to counter those missile attacks by attacking the firing missile ships that actually fire these Tomahawk missiles and their military bases. If they think, jowl to cheek, as they say, they're going to do a war against Russia and not have consequences when they've given enough advance notice of the Syrians, Assad forces to move their air assets onto Russian bases in Syria. If we attack the Russians and kill Russians, we're immediately in a serious nuclear war. And if it's not just localized in Israel, it'll spread very quickly to the world. So, you know, to me, this is, even if it stops, it may be a stop for a period of months or even a couple of years. It means that we're on the knife's edge, not minutes, but seconds away to midnight, aren't we?
Yes. And so all the more reason why we've got to get out of the big cities. If you're in the cities, and even some of the smaller places are going to be death traps.
Right.
Now, let's look at the advantage. We've seen the advantages and disadvantages of city life. Let's just have a look at the advantages and disadvantages of country life. I think it's worth looking at.
Right.
Now, the disadvantages, okay. Man-made attractions are not as convenient. Neighbours are further away. It takes longer for emergency services to show up. Now, those are disadvantages, but look at the advantages. Wide open spaces, fresh air, not crammed against neighbours. You can do what you want without fear of people looking over at you. Quiet, no traffic, no pollution, safer, with a low to no crime rate. Close community relationships and more stress-free. Now, without any disasters, when you weigh it all, country living does offer the best quality of life. Now, to clinch it, research has confirmed, all else being equal, that people who live in the country, on average, live 2 years longer anyway. And now, let's be reminded that soon, the problem of buying and selling will be a very serious one. And people are going to be told to spy on each other and report each other. And in rural districts where the houses are not crowded closely together, you'll more easily be free from interference of enemies. And then how much better to be where you can raise your own fruit and vegetables? Suppose you don't have access to supermarkets anymore. Suppose the food supply dries up because petrol is off the grid, because the grid has been brought down. That's easy. So how much better to be where you can raise your own fruit and vegetables and where your children can be brought in direct contact with the works of God in nature? Oh, it has so many wonderful advantages. Now, if things get bad enough, major cities and densely populated areas, we've said this before, they're going to experience civil unrest on a scale we've never seen. And we'll see food riots, tax revolts, job marches, millions of homeless, and I believe we're seeing that now, the beginning of it. And you remember the social anarchy that took place a few years ago in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. It doesn't take much to set off unrest. And what good is your money going to do if we don't have a safe place to live until civil order can be restored? Now, we've already spoken about moving out, and you may have relatives or friends who've already done such a thing, and you may have somewhere to go temporarily until you can get something better for yourself, but it's worth considering buying or having a safe haven place at least 2 hours away from a major city, as I said just a few minutes earlier. And I have two friends who've spoken to me just the other day. He said they both have mortgages they'll not be able to pay off, which means they'll lose their homes in the coming economic collapse. And this is what happened during the Great Depression last century. And the advice for them was to buy a used RV, a motorhome, as soon as they could, and have it stocked and ready to go, and pray and ask God to show them where he wants them to be and when he wants them to leave. They need to have a plan. And as you suggested, Dr. Bill, find like-minded people. For example, if one is a Christian, the ideal is to find a Christian friend who lives in the country and owns their property free and clear, who will let you park your RV if you drive it in. If you can't afford an RV, then just get a tent or find a friend who will let you move in with them. And eventually you may have to flee even your home in the country. So have a small pack ready for that time with essentials. Be prepared. Think ahead. Don't wait for the event to take you by surprise. I guess that's the lesson. Now, the book of Genesis, again, furnishes us with the ideal location, one which is close to a natural water supply. The book of Genesis says, a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and then it was parted and became four heads. And so maybe we should spend a little time talking about water. After a place to live, water is the second priority in surviving. You need lots of water. You must drink a lot of water in the heat to avoid dehydration. You need water for cooking. You need water for bathing, sanitation. And especially if you're preparing a place out of the city, water should be considered heavily in the preparation. Now, there are large stretches of countryside that do not have reliable water supply, and so this has to be considered when you're looking ahead. You need water to survive. And streams, lakes, and rivers will attract other people, so I would suggest you should be even more concerned with springs coming out of the ground, or wells, rainwater systems, storage containers. Now, I think a lot of us do already know this, but if you didn't, did you know that 78% of your body is water anyway? So you take a man who weighs 100 pounds, remove all the water from his body so as to leave the only actual dry material of his body, and he's reduced in weight to only 22 pounds. How about that? So your body, if you're of average adult size, contains about 50 litres, we say here in New Zealand. Maybe in America you'd say 110 pints of water. And even your bones are 30 to 40% water. And it's often wondered, why do so many of us get so sick? And I think there's one very interesting factor in this, that most people do not realise they're living in a permanent state of dehydration. They don't even realise it. We're not drinking anywhere near the amount of water we should be drinking. And it's interesting, in Queensland here, which is not too far from us in Australia, has the highest rate of kidney disease anywhere in the world, all due to a lack of water intake, coupled with drinking too much alcohol, coffee and Coke, all which are all diuretics.
Yeah, and they've got this combination is very bad, isn't it?
Oh, very bad, yes. So most of us need to drink many times the amount of water we have been, rather than tea or coffee, which actually dehydrate the body. You might be surprised at that. Our bodies are giving off moisture all the time, 24 hours a day, and when we go to the toilet, when we perspire, even when we breathe. And to prove this, why don't you just breathe onto a mirror and see the condensation that takes place in front of you? The water comes out of your breath. It's happening with every time you speak.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah,
keep that thought. We'll be right back. Getting ready. Get yourself prepped up. Things are happening. And in this last segment, what topic would you like to cover now, Jonathan?
I'd like to go a little bit further into water, Dr. Bill, because I do believe this is one of the essentials we need to take more stock of than we do.
Right. And you can have things like these straws you can drop into water and get out most of the parasites. We have a BEV 200 system that you can actually run from a 12-volt battery or solar panel, and you can actually get cleaner than distilled water with our BEV 200 system. You don't have to have a reserve tank. You just drop a line into a puddle or even collect water from leaves of the trees around you, like moisture. And then you can actually filter it through and pull all the bacteria out of the air, pull all of the toxins and chemicals out. Because people will realize that the air is not really very clean here in North America. We're still in the tailpipe of Fukushima Daiichi. And if there's a thermonuclear war, even in the Far East, we're going to get blasted with radiation. In fact, the radiation cloud, if they decide to strike the Bashir reactor, which is one of the things that I'm sure that Trump and the warmongers want to do, it'll create a radiation cloud that'll cross Myanmar, southern China, and Japan, and come right over to America and blast us with a huge radiation cloud. And people aren't aware of this yet, are they?
Oh, no. No, that's right.
Yeah, I belong to the Society of Atomic Scientists, and I can tell you, the population are completely unaware of just how much danger is already occurring from 7+ years of Fukushima Daiichi not being fixed. And all the companies that actually could fix Fukushima are all American support companies. They're not Japanese. It's only an umbrella company, TEPCO. But people aren't prepared for anything. And they don't ask tough questions. That's what I tell people. Wisdom comes by swimming in the sea of ignorance. You have to actually realize how stupid you are before you ever get wise.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Now, you were talking about cleaning water. One thing that we've had good success with in living in primitive areas is you just have a store of powdered charcoal, and
right.
you pour the water through the charcoal through a cloth that has charcoal in it, let the water come out through the cloth below into some container, and it's totally purified. It's a wonderful what charcoal can do. It actually can adsorb 80 times its own volume or its own weight. It can adsorb poisons and things that are not wanted up to 80 times its own weight. That's tremendous.
Yeah, it is really amazing.
Yeah. Now, you may already have a good filtration system, and it's better to stick to the white ceramic filters rather than the black ones. Evidently, the white ones can be much easier to clean and will last longer than the black ones. Now, what about extracting water from the air? Well, here's a great way to avoid having to cart large amounts of water on your back from the nearest water source. And remember, you may not be able to use any motor vehicle. Did you know you can get your water from the ambient air?
Right.
Yes, you can. And this will eliminate your need of hauling water. And that's very important. But I'll give you an idea of what you need to do this. Firstly, a generator. A generator can provide you with electricity just in case the mainstream power supply fails. And note also that a generator should have the capability to run on propane as well as on gasoline.
Or solar. One of our suppliers is going to have an EMP generator called Solark that actually has hardened them against EMP from both the coronal mass ejection and EMP. Because you guarantee if they want to knock out the powers that be want to make sure they fry all the regular generators, too, so that power distribution networks are down, and even the electronics that run regular propane and other generators are also fried. They don't want you to have power, right?
That's right. However, if you're in a place where you can get away from the people, propane will store indefinitely.
Yeah.
It's also less likely to be destroyed by the devastation around you.
Right.
Propane tanks are quite sturdy, and they can also be stored underground safely.
Yeah. Well, now, what I've done is I have two 500-gallon propane tanks with a 20-kilowatt generator, and I'm going to put a solar arc system in, which means it's going to be EMP-hardened solar generator, and I'll switch my solar panel, so I'll always be pulling off power off the solar, and I can dump some back into the network, but you don't want to have solar where you're dependent on the power grid, because when you're power grid, most of the 99% of the people in America and other countries, they're tied to the grid, so if the grid's down, you don't have power, even if you have solar panels. You need to have your own backup batteries, and they have to be EMP-hardened, so your solar distribution system and storage system is actually hardened against EMP.
Very good. Now, another thing I would suggest is a dehumidifier. If you have the capability of utilizing electricity, you can extract purified distilled water from the air. Now, this is where you use a dehumidifier. You can always shut it off when you need a drink, then restart it. Also, you should consider how many people will be needing to use it. Now, remember this. When the commercial power goes dead, you'll have only a precious, limited supply of electric power from your electric generator or your battery-powered inverter. And this means that a larger 9-gallon dehumidifier may not operate. So it's better to purchase a 5-gallon one, a 5-gallon per day one. Now, firstly, because its power demand is going to be more suitable for extreme conditions. Now, even if you buy a high-powered generator or inverter, your fuel source, say natural gas, propane, solar to battery, wind to battery, and so on, will be limited, and this means that your dehumidifier cannot be powered for long enough periods to produce enough water, while a smaller dehumidifier will more protractedly produce the water you'll need to survive. Now, just think about this. A 9-gallon dehumidifier is going to require nearly twice as much electricity as the 5-gallon dehumidifier. And when your inverter battery storage is depleted down to, say, 10 volts, the inverter automatically switches off and you're stumped before you can squeeze out that 9 gallons. Okay, the smaller your electrical load that you place on your generator or inverter, the longer you can produce your 4 or 5 gallons of water that each day that's necessary for the average-sized family to sustain life. So go for the more reliable, smaller one, and it will keep you alive.
And keep it running continuously, in other words. You don't run it in surges like the higher 9-gallon.
Exactly, yes. That's right, yeah. Bill, yeah. Now, a friend of mine has designed his installation so as to use a very small generator to keep his batteries charged, so the inverter never runs down low enough to shut off the power supply. And one can use a generator to directly run the inverter or the humidifier itself. So that gives you a few different options. But bear in mind that as the temperature of the ambient air drops, it will take the dehumidifier longer to fill its tank. So there's just a few thoughts that may be useful.
Mm-hmm. Clever. And by the way, this is a good alternative. The other alternative is either a well, or we call oasis water, and we talked about Paul Power from the Primary Water Institute. It's, you have to drill pretty deep, and you have to have a lot of power to be able to pull down, say, 1,200 feet or 600 feet down. A well would be 350 feet down for the average year in Southern California and many places. It takes a lot of power to pull up that water, so ambient water from the air is a great idea, especially if you're down to subsistence.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, I think that we need to focus on this water need. Most people are not drinking near enough water. And As we mentioned, we're made mostly of water. Our body cries out. And sometimes, you know, when we think we're hungry, our body is not crying out for food. It's crying out for water.
Right.
And we don't realize that.
Indeed, the minerals along with that. That's why we have our mineral drinks, etc., like Ageless Life Support, Glycemix, and NutriComplete. And, of course, you need the minerals besides just the water to keep your electrolytes up.
That's true, yes. Very important.
Amazing discussion. Will You Survive? Get the e-book based on biblical principles at beforeus.com. Thank you, Jonathan. We should do some videos. I have my live stream all set up. If you'd like to do something this weekend, I can do that with you. And we can maybe put up some pictures and go into some more discussion and post it up all over all our social media.
See what we can do.
Thank you for listening, everyone. As I say, don't believe everything we say at all, but pray on it after you've done your own investigations and ask better questions. When you do, take action. Again, the three steps are ask questions, pray on it, take action. Thank you for listening. Back tomorrow with an amazing program. Don't miss it. Pastor Butch Parr, Hour 3.
In an hour pill, a combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.